Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out. You already know this your folks.
Trillville.
Yes, sir.
And you already know you tune in to 92.9 The Game with who?
Andy and Randy.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, man.
Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time, air.com. We will let you hear from Raheem Morris just a couple. Actually, no, we won't. We won't let you hear from Raheem Morris. We've heard enough from the coach. We'll let you hear from Michael Penix coming up in just a couple of minutes as we get back into the big story of the day. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us in about 20 minutes to talk some Falcons as well. And we'll close things out as we always do with an AMA where we are going to need you.
Yes.
We are going to need you to call in and get on hold at 406-0929 and ask us some questions.
Real quick, Andy, because there's a watch party. And the reason I'm talking about the watch party is because our main man, Abe, get the money, get the loot, Abe. We'll be having the watch party this Sunday at Houlihan's in Houlihan Tavern in Roswell as they watch the Falcons battle the Carolina Panthers. Their Freddie Falcon, the cheer team, compete in Bud Light football toss, which Abe probably will try to win.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I want to circle back.
Let me finish because I know exactly where you're at. Yeah. You can also win an all-inclusive trip for two to Vegas to compete for Super Bowl tickets. Win Falcon tickets, autograph Falcons memorabilia. And, of course, there's great specials on Bud Light. This says this Sunday at Houlihan's Tavern in Roswell. Houlihan's Tavern in Roswell. Must be 21.
Now, those parties are very fun.
They're fun as hell.
Very, very fun.
No. I'm going to go back to something right here that I said.
I'm so glad.
All right?
Because I wanted to talk about this.
Compete in Bud Light's football toss to win an all-inclusive trip for two to Vegas.
That's right.
Okay. Now.
That's right.
Now, note, when we do these things, eligible. Mm-mm. We're not eligible as a host or anybody that's doing that.
You're by host already.
You're already. Hold on. No. I am not finished. Okay.
This party is hosted by Abe Gordon. Abe has already won.
Okay. First of all, Abe gets a check.
Yeah, he does.
But
and all the Bud Light he can drink.
Yes. And but no, you know, here's a drink while he's working.
Oh, that's
he has that thing about himself. But
I do
compete in the Bud Light football talk. Who's going to be more competitive, Abe? Than
Abe.
Nope.
Abe will.
Abe's going to be sweating.
Yeah.
Abe's going to be doing drops. Uh-huh. Abe's going to be doing everything he can.
He's going to be calling out Cadence
to embarrass anybody who's out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want y'all to know because I mean it's a great venue. All right, Houlihan's Tavern over in Roswell. That Abe is going to take you down.
Yeah, you might win the contest, but you will not.
You will not beat Abe. I just want everybody to know.
100%.
Everything. And if you're there, make sure you find somebody, get them the video or the camera so you can videotape it. Because Abe is going all out.
It's so funny that you brought that up because our great sales guy, Matt McKenna, is the AE on that event. And I've done a bunch of them the last handful of years. I can't do them this year. But he was telling me, we have this football toss thing that we're bringing out this year, and I think it'll be really fun. And I was like, that does sound fun.
Yes.
You know who's really going to enjoy that is one of the guys who's going to do a lot of those parties this year, Abe.
Yes.
Abe's really going to enjoy the football toss and take it very seriously.
And tell them why.
So it's actually perfect that Abe's doing them this year.
But no, tell them why we said this, because as usual, off the cuff, great time. great time. I wish we could do more, but because I got kids to drop off and everything, so we don't get to do it every day.
We had a really good one today.
But we have a fun one. Yeah. You go listen to it because it's funny because I never knew that because my other kids, I didn't have to pay for as much. Now these kids nowadays, you got to pay for so much stuff to play sports. But anyway.
Abe has a lot of different beliefs.
Beliefs. Beliefs about himself.
About himself.
And the thing about
it. And about what it, well, if this would have happened or if that would have happened, he would have been a professional
if athlete. If nobody don't believe in themselves more than you, then why do you believe?
That's right. And but nobody believes in themselves more than
nobody.
Abe believes in himself. Which is
nobody.
Which is true. Yeah.
All right. Abe said, and I'm gonna give a spoiler right here. We're talking about, you know, genetics, how God, you know, you might be, you know, I know you train your child, you take them to all these
right.
specialists and everything, but genetics just might not let them grow.
Yeah, it might not be in there.
It might not be in there, yeah. All right? And we talk about 6'10 guys.
Well, because I went to the concert we went to on Saturday night. There was a woman sitting right next to us, such a nice lady and a huge fan of the band and knew all the lyrics and was really into it. She's the tallest woman I've ever seen in my life. She was legitimately at least 6'8", if not taller than that.
Yes.
And I didn't, you know, I wasn't trying to be, I didn't, we didn't really, Ashley was sitting next to her, but I mean, had I talked to her, I probably would have asked her something about do you play sports or whatever, but I didn't ask. And I didn't want to be disrespectful.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
Yeah, you
thank
know what I mean?
You. Thank you.
Who knows? You'd have to think. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Don't do that.
So I was like, this is a very tall woman. And Abe said, if you were 6'10", do you think you would have made the NBA?
Yes.
And I said, no.
And said, no.
Why not?
And it said, no. And then.
And Abe said, I would have.
I would have. And so. Hold on. Now, see, now you're trying to over-explain. If you were 6'10", because you're 6'10", you think you, Abe, 6'10", Gord, would have been in the NBA? No. We're talking about that.
17-year-old Abe is 6'10". Okay. Okay.
All right.
There you have it.
I don't believe you, but this is why I say this.
Did you meet
hey,
him? Did you, Abe, did you come
to
a
crossroad? Hold on, damn it.
I want to know when the crossroad was in his life where he determined he's going to give up his basketball career because he's too short.
I got Wi-Fi for 3 years straight. Did you say, bro, I would be in the gym?
I was 6'10". I'd be working on footwork.
Who would you model your game after? Who would be the... Kevin Love, okay. Now, I will say, even though Kevin Love was 6'10", his dad also was a D1 basketball player, so that gene... Anyway, but you probably would have been.
And you know what? I am never a dream crusher. I would never, ever be a dream crusher.
Well, just a quick, I don't want an apology, probably isn't the right word, but just a word for the 6'10 listener that didn't make the NBA that's out there right now. Abe thinks you didn't work hard.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Basically what he said. Didn't want it. Didn't want it bad enough.
Bro, I would have been in the gym.
I would have been in the gym.
Really one of the funniest things that's ever been said on this show.
Bro, I would have been in the gym. Damn it, Abe.
So good. Listen to the Off the Cuff podcast today.
Yes.
It'll be available in like 50 minutes. Yes. Let's get to the big story of
bro,
the day.
Bro, I would have been in the gym.
Awesome. It's awesome. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Pew!
You see talent. You know, obviously, I feel like those guys, you know, they present a lot of different things. You know, I feel like the scheme isn't like – a lot of people would say the scheme wouldn't be as complicated as Flores' defense, but at the end of the day, like, they got playmakers, they got a good coach over there, and they will make plays. We just got to make more. But it's a lot of talent over there.
Yeah, that's Michael Penix talking about what is going on this weekend in terms of the opponent's defense. I know a lot of the conversation the first 2 weeks about the DCs and some of the playmakers on the other side of the ball, and I think he has had a nice start to the season. Less conversation probably about the defensive coordinator of Carolina, but they do have really good players over there, at least a couple of them.
They do.
Good secondary, obviously, with J.C. Horn and some of those guys. Derek Brown in the middle, really talented player too. I don't have any doubt that the Falcons will have an answer for all of that, but it is interesting. We don't talk that much about defensive coordinators in general.
No.
But the first 2 weeks with those two guys, with Tampa and with Minnesota, that was a big part of the narrative.
Well, I mean, because they are household brand names.
Yeah,
about,
they're names people
you
know.
And so you understand that. And they're known – the reason they're household names is because they're known for a specific style of how they call the defense. They're attacking, they're blitzing, exotic, all those different things. Like, I swear to you, Andy, by just being a guy that's been back there to backfield and having to – ain't nothing exotic about it. You know, I think one of the biggest things, because people, when they put exotic on it, is like, oh, whether this corner or this safety came, or they were disguising it. Like, the most exotic guy who blitz were the Ryan brothers. Like, Rex and them, that what they used to do was exotic. Because you're like, what the hell is that? Because the simple fact is that you're bringing a guy and leaving a guy wide open and hoping you don't see it. Because if you see it, you beat it. So, but at the same time, when you're talking about a young quarterback like Michael, you're giving him looks that he has not seen. But I think, you know, just individually, we know this. It's got to be in – I kind of go against what I talk about with Bergeron sometimes because I do think he gets too hand heavy on like twists and stuff. That's why he gets beat so many times with the looper. They're going to run ET. If you want to watch that, watch the right side, left side of the Falcons line because he's been beaten so much by TEET stunts. That meaning that they cross over each other. And that guy is always looped around because he has his hands and face on that guy that's going out to Jake. Now, you pass that off to Jake because Jake guy's coming back to you, and he's missed that multiple times this year already. And so it's a possibility that – no, it's not a possibility. Copycat Lee. They're going to run it.
They'll be doing that.
Yeah, they're going to run it. And so can he figure out – and Coach Led is one of the best in the league. So I know they've been working on that. But, yeah, they got a top-flight corner. He's paid like a top-flight corner. And so he's going to be a guy. That's why I think you might get more opportunities down the field because I can see more man-to-man from this team.
Yeah. No, I would expect there to be some deep balls on Sunday for that reason, for the reason that they just have to respect the run, given what the Falcons put on tape last week against Minnesota, and hopefully that they can continue to succeed with against Carolina on Sunday. And you'd have to hope that Darnell Mooney is closer to his normal self. Yes. This week than he was last week as well. And, you know, he's going to be one of the main guys, if not the main guy, that's going to be the deep threat. So I know some of the conversation out of the first 2 weeks has been, well, where's the deep ball been? Well, it hadn't been there. Yeah. Defense been taking it away, and last week it was run heavy and all that. I would be surprised if there's not a shot or two in this game against Carolina. Yeah. And just go back and look at what last year looked like. I mean, they were bombs over Baghdad in that game. Yes. They threw the ball all over the place. It was a shootout. It was 38-38 going into overtime.
And then all those guys are coming back.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty much with the opportunity.
Very similar defense.
You can look at last year's film.
Uh-huh.
And get, you know.
Same coaching staff, same personnel for the most part. Aviro, that's how you say his name, right? The defensive coordinator.
Him and
Raheem have worked together, so there's a lot of sort of connection and carryover between these two coaching staffs. But, look, if you can do anything close to what you did offensively last year in Week 18 – and just be average defensively, you're going to win the game by double digits.
At least.
It's just a matter of being average defensively, which I think that they can do, but you got to get that bad Week 18 taste out of your mouth from last year.
Because they got after your ass right there. Hey, join 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game, which is this Sunday for the Falcons flyover. It's your first chance to call and react to every Falcons game brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcon flyover immediately following every Falcons game this season here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know how else I know Bergeron's going to be better on Sunday?
Uh-oh. Is it Canadian holiday?
No, he's been in the gym, bro.
Bro. Dude. I just – and it's my man, 50 grand. He runs. He plays soccer.
He does.
Plays pickleball.
He works out.
He works out.
Footwork.
No. Come on, man.
Ladders. Ladder drills. Everyone says it. People won't stop saying
it. Who the hell ever said that?
I never heard
it. I know. Hey, I know Dave Bassett, the guy. Dave Bassett came and said, "Have you ever seen this guy play soccer?"
Abe is a good soccer player. I will grant him that. He is a good soccer player. It's true. The teleporter. You wouldn't have had to teleport if you were 6'10". You could just back people down. All right. Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us next. We'll talk some Falcons with him. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. About 50.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling
telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
15 minutes away from the AMA here to wrap the show up on a Trillville Thursday, 404-726-0929. Phone lines will be open. All you got to do is call up, get on hold, and ask us anything. We'll get there to wrap things up as always. Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us on Thursdays at this time as well.
You think if Joe Patrick was 6'10", that he'd be in the NBA?
I think if Joe Patrick was 6'10", he'd be able to see over the top of the screen.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. He would have his armpit on D-Led's head.
Exactly.
Yes.
He'd just be better in the scrum, which is hard to imagine because he's already really good in the scrum. But he'd just be taller and better, and, you know, the microphone will get closer to the athlete.
Yes.
Let's get Joe in here.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 the game's midday host.
Abe wouldn't let me tell my romosexual joke.
3 inches and just under 400 pounds. To the best of our knowledge, Chad in the other quarter.
Joe knew he was on the radio.
Games reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
What'd you say, Joe?
I can't say it.
Oh, you can't say it.
If I was 6'10", I would be a good stretch four. I could shoot those corner threes.
Oh, so you think you would have made the NBA also if you were 6'10", just like Abe thinks?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, maybe. Well, so it's like
at least D1.
I get like 3 minutes a night. You know, I could come in foul, be a goon basically, an NBA goon. 6'10". I mean, you can do a lot with 6'10".
Oh, 6'10"'s a lot. You'd be like Mike Muscala or something like that.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And no disrespect to Muscala. He's had a nice little career in the NBA where he's been able to have multiple contracts. All right. Last week we talked about what needed to improve most, and there was some pretty clear stuff. Get the quarterback on the ground, special teams, the kicking game, obviously. If you had to pick one thing that you want to see them get better at from week two to week three, what is it?
You know, it's getting the – are you talking about the defense or just overall?
The overall, whatever direction you want to take
I think it's getting the passing game going in the way that, like, we want to see it. You know, Michael Penix, he did great in that week one game. He threw for 298 yards. He was, you know, facing some adversity, not having Darnell Mooney out there, going with some, you know, backup receivers, not fully healthy. I don't think that passing game was really what the Falcons envision it to be. You know, like, they haven't been able to connect on these downfield passes yet. Zach Robinson's talked about these defensive coordinators they've been going up against have really been protecting those over-the-top shots. And, you know, credit to Michael Penix for not forcing the ball in. He's the only quarterback in the NFL so far that has had two games played where he hasn't had a turnover-worthy play registered. You know, I think that obviously the Falcons offense, in order for it to be kind of operating at the level that it wants to be at, it's got to connect on some of those ultimately. And, you know, we'll see what Carolina's defense makes available for them. But I think that would be the kind of the next component for this offense to really get itself going.
Do you think it's a case of where he might need, I don't like the word force, Joe, but like just maybe just take that shot? Because like you said, I don't know what that stat is. And I don't know what a lot of these damn stats are nowadays is, you know, as far as the closest thrower, EPA, all that crap.
EPA per pass.
Because
EPA
I'm like, because usually the people that made those stats ain't never hit in the face by another grown man. I take that for what that is. But do you think it's more or less because Moody hasn't been there? Because I view him as that deeper threat. Now that he's back and getting more comfortable, you think there's some possibilities that he take more shots?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, you know, Zach Robinson said, you know, their kind of mantra they have is like shot calling does not necessarily mean shot taken, because they, you know, they might, like, for example, Raheem Morris said that play where Bijan Robinson scored on that third play of the game against Tampa Bay, that was a touchdown shot type of play that they were running there. It wasn't supposed to be a touchdown for Bijan. You know, that was supposed to be an over the top shot for some other. So they want to try to go downfield, but it hasn't been open. And so they've been giving Michael Penix a lot of credit for not forcing the ball into some of those situations. And, you know, Bijan showed that you don't necessarily have to take the shot downfield in order to pick up big chunks of yardage. And he was getting that on the ground as well, just carrying the ball against Minnesota. So there is that, but I do think that Darnell get him involved. Like, you just look at his skills, like what he brings to the table, and he's going to help generate that. Like, he was leading the NFL for a good chunk of last season in 20 plus yard plays. Now, he wasn't having a lot of like 50-yard touchdown-style explosive plays, but he was having a lot of these, like, 20-yard comebacks from Kirk had a good connection on, and I think that Michael Penix can, you know, do that same kind of thing more with him getting down the field for those explosive touchdown types of plays.
I have a few different theories as to maybe why this is, but you'd have to agree that it's true in the first place to think about why it is. But does it feel to you like Bijan is getting a little bit more conversation nationally? And if so, why do you think that that is?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, yes, the answer is yes.
Okay,
like,
good. So you agree with the premise?
I definitely agree with the premise. I think one of the reasons why, and this is going to be, this might irate some people, like, furious. I think one of the reasons why is because he's actually living up to his fantasy football value.
No, you're probably right. Honestly, you're probably right.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons people are willing to just, like, buy in.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons people are willing to be like, yes, he's a great player. I don't think that that is what makes a great player, but I just think it's one of the reasons why he's talked about that way. I think the other reason is just because I think the other reason is because of what you see, you know, just like the spectacular fashion of what he does on the field. You know, it's not like he's like, even if Derrick Henry probably doesn't even get talked about enough for like what he does, just because, you know, he thinks in a very standard fashion where Bijan, you know, his agility, that's just like what people love to see in like an athlete and, you know, a running back in particular. And then obviously when you're on Sunday Night Football, when you get opportunities to show out in front of a national media or in front of a national, you know, football audience, that's obviously going up to on the national spotlight. So, or, you know, make yourself like a talking point like that. So I think it's probably some combination of all those things. And then obviously Bijan himself is just so, he's such a good guy. He's like got a great kind of aesthetic to him, just personal. Like, you know, he just like looks cool, talks cool. He's got a cool name. I don't know. He's just like got like a ton of marketability about him that just makes him kind of the full package in that sense.
Bijan's cool.
I think he's cool.
I think he's cool too. I think he's cool too.
Yeah, really,
Joe,
is.
What's your sense on the whole AJ Terrell thing?
You know, I think that they're going to be, I think they're going to be cautious with him. I doubt that he plays this week. We'll see if he practices today. The way he went down with that injury,
right,
that made me think it was like kind of more on the significant side. The fact that he just kind of went down, it wasn't like one of those where he kind of pulls up a little bit lame, you know, it was like he felt it and went down during the play. And that to me was concerning. However, I said that, I think it's probably, you got to be a little bit more optimistic the fact that they haven't put him on IR already, especially because this would be an opportune time. Not that there's ever an opportune time, I guess, to put a player on IR, but when you have a bye week that would come during an IR stint, because an IR stint would mean the player misses four games, you would think teams would be more likely to do it. And they still could do it. You know, he could sit out this Carolina Panthers game and they could still put him on IR, and that Panthers game, if he doesn't play and it's not active, would be, you know, retroactively part of that kind of IR stint. Yeah. So we're not out of the woods on that front, but I would say that I'm feeling more optimistic about kind of just the longer-term prognosis and that it's maybe not something major, but I would not expect him to play this week. That's my sense.
I know it's 2 weeks, so you don't want to overreact to, you know, any big-picture stats yet because, it's two games. There's so much of the season left. Nonetheless, it's the amount of data that we have. I've seen some rankings where the offense is somewhere between 10 and 15. I've seen some rankings where the defense is in the top 2 to 3 in the league. Ultimately, which of those units do you think is going to be the best?
Can you say that real quick one more time?
It was a really long way to ask. Which, like, the offense or the defense ultimately do you think is going to be the best part of the team?
I think that, over the season or this week?
Over the season. Yeah.
Over the season, it's going to be the offense. I mean, this is still going to be an offensive-driven team. For as good as this defense has been, it's going to be an offensive-driven team. It has to be. It just has to be, because that's where your big money pieces are. You know, that's just where you're invested, really, at this point. But I would say that this week, I think the defense is going to continue to show out, because, you know, this Carolina offensive line is banged up, and I think that is just another great opportunity for this young defensive front and pass rushing unit to really get after it against a Bryce Young that I think we know can get rattled. Obviously, he played really well when the teams matched up last week, or at the end of last season. But this is a totally different unit that can cause a lot more disruption for him in the pocket and make his life, frankly, a living nightmare for a game. But I think over the long run, if this team wants to be a team that wins the division, makes the playoffs, et cetera, they've got to get the offense going. And I think they can be. I think it's just one of those things that just takes some time to build up and get your flow. And I think with the play calling as well, just kind of getting the flow with play calling and what works, what personnel groupings are most effective. And as long as they can just continue to build and progress in that sense, I think they'll be on the right track.
Good stuff, Joe.
Appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
JP.
All right, thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, Falcons insider. Potential stretch four. If only he was 6'10" also. Imagine the things we could have been had we been a little taller. All right, let's get the phone lines loaded up here. 404-726-0929. We got six lines. That's a lot. It's a lot of lines. It'd be awesome if they were all full and we came back to do the AMA. Any question, any topic, we'll answer after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Ask and you shall receive. We appreciate it. Full phone lines. We'll start with Walter in Atlanta. Hey, Walter.
What's going on, fellas? Real quick, if you guys could set the market on podcast microphones, what would you guys charge for the podcast microphones? My first question, how much would you charge for podcast microphones? Because I really feel like they need to like heighten the price up on those things, one. And for two, what's worse, athletes who are actively playing that have podcasts, or athletes that have since retired or, you know, been phased out of the league that have podcasts?
Thank you, Walter.
All right.
I think this is all sort of on the heels of the Patrick Beverly, yes, Trey Young back and forth.
First of all, don't say phased, all right, because they were big parts of the NBA. I hate that because that makes it seem like they weren't relevant.
What do you mean?
When you say athletes that are phased.
Oh.
That's how I took it. But it's okay.
Well, I think Patrick Beverly was sort of phased out.
But he was
NBA.
Not. But Patrick Beverly, I'm not as much whatever we're talking about. Patrick Beverly was a big part of teams. Like,
oh, yeah.
He made big plays. I don't like that phased part. Like the current part about it, and this is why I say it's a different age. When do you have time to do this? Because obviously it might be on your Tuesday, whatever. Like the NFL season, you're so bogged down and busy. Like, when do you have time to do a podcast as a player? That was the only thing. And it might be new hours.
Yeah.
It might be a 25th hour in a day, an NFL day. I don't know. But my thing is like,
people seem to have plenty of time to try to get attention.
Like, when
these
do
days.
You have time after all the recovery and the rest and everything like that to and the studying part about it? Because I think, and this is the thing I try to understand, it's like, just because you walk out the building, don't mean your job is done. Bro, you see the iPad? Got to get back on it.
Yeah. So I guess in that case, current players, I don't know, man. If you're retired, you got a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
You got stories to tell.
Yeah.
Go for it.
But
not every podcast is going to be as interesting as others, but some of them are great. Like
some of them are.
I really like Matt Barnes and Stephen Jackson.
All the Smoke. Yes.
That's great.
All
those guys are doing a great job. And there, I don't know. There's other ones that are good. There's other ones that aren't.
And I like current ones.
I will say it is a little funny because for so long, so much of like the current athlete angst was like these people with microphones in the media and all of this.
And then they
and everyone's like, they can't wait to get to a microphone. Yeah. It's like, all right, maybe everybody wasn't so bad, you know? Maybe everybody's
what
just doing their
best. What
is Draymond
called? The new media.
The new media. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's what it is. There is an entirely new media, and literally anyone can be a part of it.
Yep.
All you got to do is buy a microphone.
That's all.
Start a little live stream, and who knows? Maybe a few months from now, you'll be rolling in the dough or starting a beef with an active NBA player.
Is he asking about our podcast?
No. I think he was just saying, could they charge more for microphones so less people could do it?
But I think the people that the guys you're referring to,
they have plenty of money.
They have plenty of money.
Yeah, they'd be able to afford it. Now, maybe there should be like a cap on how many, but there kind of is because they'll all do it. And if it doesn't go well, then they'll stop.
Yes.
So it's up to you. It's up to you to listen or not. You're the one that gets to decide. James is Indicator. Hey, James. James. Somebody took James's microphone.
Damn it, James.
All right. Ryan is in Villa Rica. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Love the show, man.
Thank you, Ryan.
Tuning in late today, so I don't know if you've already touched on this or not, but even in Georgia's national championship run seasons, it seemed like the offense in those seasons even started out lethargic. It's kind of a lame word to say, but it's all I can come up with. They look the same Saturday. I know everybody's tough on Bobo, including myself. But it just looked it looked slow. Now, I will say Tennessee's defensive line really surprised me. I think they really put up a heck of a fight against our offensive line, stuffed the run, put a lot of pressure on the QB. But anyhow, I just want to get your take on what you saw out of the offense. What do you see moving forward? I mean, do you think we get a chance to see Pug? Is it? I know that's against Kirby's standards to do. But anyhow, that's all I got.
All right, Ryan.
When you said Pug, I was like, damn, y'all are boys.
But not. We wouldn't be asking for Puglisi after that.
Puglisi's not going to play unless he gets hurt.
If he was awful, but he just played a great game.
Yeah, but he plays a great game. That's what remember yesterday.
I would have thought we'd be done with that.
Remember yesterday when we talked about this. I mentioned, I was like, what are we doing?
I mean,
was the offense stagnant?
I would say, well, the first national championship, it was game plan, I think. It was a 10-3 game against Clemson.
Yeah, it was game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next national championship year, they beat Oregon 49-3.
Yeah, we beat a hell out of people. I think
Stetson threw for, I think, five
touchdowns.
I think
it's more than anything, it's a game plan specific thing with Kirby. But we beat the hell out of people that national championship year. But I think that we always got to understand is that the competition is what the competition is. We beat the hell out of people we're supposed to beat the hell out of, and you, like most SEC teams, it is what it is. But Pug, and I love that, I would never call that young man that again, there's no reason to see him.
Yeah.
He's not going to make the defense, he's not going to make the offense any different than what Stetson. Just like Carson Beck was never going to, or JT Daniels were going to make it different than Stetson. The offense is what it is.
Sure. But I also think, I mean, Gunner just played so well. Why would we want to go away from that?
Because it was stagnant.
Was it? They scored 43 points.
It was stagnant to start the game.
Oh, they went 3 and out on one possession.
Yeah. It was stagnant.
Was it?
But I understand.
The first drive, they scored a touchdown. The second drive, they punted. The third drive, they scored a touchdown.
But I understand what he's saying. No, I don't understand what he's saying. He sounds like, I'm like, huh, okay. All right.
I don't know. I think that.
But I understand what he's saying because I understand the crowd of everybody's mad at Bobo or it's not. We are not going to be a Tennessee type offense. That's not what we do at Georgia.
Right.
We never have.
Right.
And so I think people look for it more. That's why they always talk about the. There's nothing worse than that word from people who like to say that word dynamic. We need a dynamic offense. What the hell is dynamic offense? Dynamic offenses don't matter if you ain't got guys that can fit into the dynamic offense. That's why.
Did I watch the wrong game on Saturday?
I think we all did.
Well, well, let me ask you this.
They scored 44 points.
What? What's the number that they would need to go into halftime with on the road to feel different about this? Because I'm with
what's
you, Bunk.
What's his name?
But the game's 60 minutes long. Who cares about halftime?
Well, I just because if you
what's the last caller's name?
It was Ryan.
Ryan, call us back tomorrow. We'll be at Twin Peaks, me and Andy, tomorrow at 11. Call back tomorrow during the AMA and be more specific.
Yeah, clarify.
Just clarify.
The reason I said halftime bunk is because you scored 17 points at halftime on the road in an SEC game. Uh-huh. I don't know how – I mean – I feel like you'll take that. I don't think that's starting slow. And to your point, you scored touchdowns on two of your first three drives.
But that's why I said, Ryan, my brother, because it sounds like you're a dog fan, my brother. Definitely. Call us back tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Brad is in Peachtree City. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Love you, Brad.
I just got a quick question for Randy. Two questions. Randy, yesterday we were discussing the bones and you know, white bone academic, black bone, play on the field. Mm-hmm. What's the requirements to get a white bone, and did you ever have any?
You mean academic bone?
It's the other way around. That was when I started taking school a lot more serious.
Can I clarify just for people that might not know? Randy is talking about the stickers on the helmets that Mark Richt used to give out.
Yes. Now, that's because I knew I wanted to leave school early.
Okay.
All right, and Mama wouldn't let me leave without my damn degree. My mother was like, no, you're not going pro unless you get your degree. And so because of that, because I had to buckle down and do more classes and everything, I was starting and I had to do my own report because me and old girl weren't old girl and old boy no more. All right, so I had to actually do my – and so it was more the projects and everything. It's more like academic, and it came from the academic counselor. That's when you have that coach that – like Coach Richt was, would get reports from all of our academic councils of what we're doing in class. And so that's what you would get the black bone for.
What did you major in?
I was an education major.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
I never asked that.
We would do all that stuff.
What was the report on?
It was actually a psychology report. And it was on the behaviors of, It's on the behaviors of adolescents in like a impoverished environment.
Oh.
And that's what I did my project on.
Okay. That sounds like a great topic.
Basically, I was doing a project on myself.
Sure.
And so we did all that and all the research of it. But yeah, that's all it was. But yeah, it was more or less the academics part about it.
And you did so well, you got an academic
bone. Yeah,
you got a black
bone. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. All right. Daniel's in San Jose. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, guys. I had a question for you. I know we're about a month out from Sunday Night Football in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Who do we have to talk to get the midday show on location? Or if that's too soon, midday show on location for the Super Bowl?
Man, y'all going to send me to Santa Clara.
Yeah, I would be so much more excited to do that if they still played at Candlestick.
Exactly. Because I love me some San Francisco.
San Francisco's a great city.
It is an awesome city.
Santa Clara.
I've flown into Santa Clara back in the day. Like, I was a youngin'. And remember the word coug?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man, she was an artsy one, too.
My daughter said that she was rooting for the Cougs this morning.
Yeah, she was an artsy one.
Oh, you mean different Cougs.
Yeah, she was an artsy one. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she's an artsy
one. Like a painter?
Yeah.
Nude?
Yeah. Yeah, this was awesome. This was like 20, you know, that was when I was like 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Met on Black Planet.
Good for you.
Yeah, man.
I was 0 for Black Planet.
Yeah, I'm like, man,
never gotten any messages on there.
Flew my ass out to the bay to meet her.
Good for you.
Santa Clara.
I mean, everybody's hung with a cougar or two, right? Well, I had a coug. That's how you learn.
Exactly.
A little seasoning. All right.
A little seasoning.
Don's in Tipton. Hey, Don.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I really enjoyed the show. I just got a question that I was curious about. I know in the NFL, the visiting team, they travel the ones that play the early games on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I know they travel the day before. Mm-hmm. Okay, for the traveling teams that play on Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, when do they travel? Do they travel the day before or the day of?
Thank you, Don.
Oh, man. I think the funnest thing when we played with the Chargers because Kansas City over is a two-day trip, you know. And so I never played on a Thursday night game when I was in San Diego I played home, matter of fact. Every Thursday night game I ever played in San Diego was home. But for the most part, whenever we played Kansas City over, it was a two-day trip. So we would always leave Friday after practice. And then if it was an East Coast trip or whatever. In St. Louis, when I was playing for the Rams, because we were in the West. So San Francisco was a two-day trip. Seattle was a two-day trip. And that was his rule that the coach made.
Right. So that's more about geography than it is about the time of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, you know, like we had a great time in Vegas last year.
Yeah.
They want to send us to Sunday Night Football in the Bay Area. We'll go.
Dude. I mean, I'm not going to.
We'll go.
Dude. This is you talking about two dudes that are captain find something.
Yeah,
Andy found a damn PBR bar in Vegas.
We're gonna find a place to have fun
with $3 damn beers.
Yeah, we're gonna find it.
$3 damn beers in Vegas.
We found the one dive bar in Vegas. We had a great time. Yes. Well, there's probably a lot, but we found the one dive bar like on the main strip in Vegas. Yes. We had a fun time. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
They had pretty good pizza too.
That pizza was good. And the wings weren't bad either.
Yeah.
Wings.
I got my dad a Christmas present.
Yeah. He would have been an all NBA player.
Dang it. Mine was Abe related too. Bro would have been in the gym.
Bijan's out there shaking players' draws off.
Yep.
Last time Randy went to the butt, there was a lot of nice cars parked there. And Abe just missed a career in the NBA by 12 inches.
Oh, just missed it.
13. I'm only 5'9". Midday show. Captain Find Something.
Yeah. No, that's great. I've never been called that. I like that a lot. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people it's outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.